as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There is so much peace of mind that comes when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there is so much potential for worry and anxiety and dissonance. It's a word I've never used here before, but you know, when you sense that that your money's not in alignment with your values and convictions.
That's right, James, but that's easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing and possibly even scary.
That's right. Yeah. When you're confused, you simply aren't making good decisions.
No.
Yeah. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode
27.
Mm-hmm. Money and Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week, in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And part of the way through the show, then we'll get to our weekly puzzler. And a weekly puzzler is just a brain teaser. It's a puzzle we like to share, and it's interesting to us. Anyway, we have no idea if it's interesting to anybody else or
not.
Folks
have been telling us they like it.
People have been saying they really enjoy those. That's right. Yeah,
no one told us to stop yet.
That's right. Yeah.
Or maybe they're just being nice.
They could just be nice. That's right. Yeah. So
anyway. Let's jump into it.
Jump into it. That's exactly right.
So in our week of review, James, what did you think was a financial news highlight throughout this past week?
Right. Well, we are recording this on November 21st. It is November 21st today, right?
That's correct.
And yesterday, I was looking at this stocks and charts and
yeah, I see those here.
Target, the price of Target dropped yesterday 20%.
Ooh.
in one day.
Wow.
And
that's a big drop.
that is a big drop.
For and a well-known name, too.
Well-known name, that's right. It wasn't the first time. I mean, it was like a couple of years ago as we were heading into 2022 and interest rates were going up and you know, inflation was running rampant, that the price of Target gapped down there as well. And I think, you know, I did a little bit of reading just to see, and I came across a Wall Street Journal article actually posted yesterday that was titled, quote, "Walmart and Target, a Tale of Two Retailers." And according to that article, the issue was that Target reported, you know, companies report their earnings and their results every calendar quarter, and Target reported an increase of 0.3% in sales. Okay. So they actually had a slight increase in sales. The problem was that everybody was expecting 1.4%. So they were
so
off.
Even though they increased their sales, they still got punished.
They still got punished. That's
clobbered,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, you know, the market is generally very unforgiving. If you don't do what people are expecting, then you get clobbered.
Investors like certainty.
That's right. So, but apparently, a lot of Target's customers started shopping at Walmart. And they continued shopping at Walmart, which is probably the problem, right? Otherwise, their sales would have been up a little bit further.
Yeah, well, they've cultivated a reputation for being more upscale, you know, and curated that sort of shopping experience. So mm-hmm. I think when people are more strapped and inflation went up a little bit, people had to make other decisions.
That's right. That's right. Now, I think we've referenced the topic on this show before. Households that are earning $100,000 or more are being picked up by Walmart. Mm-hmm. I mean, as Walmart is expanding its customer base, it's going up the income scale. Mm-hmm. And the reason, of course, that people who are earning $100,000 or more are shopping at Walmart is because $100,000 doesn't get you as far. Doesn't mean anywhere close to what it used to. And so they're needing to find a way to make their $100,000 stretch further.
And that might force Target to reevaluate their pricing and their product mix.
It really could. Mm-hmm. It really could. So, you know, I think the key takeaway there is that inflation, which we've talked about like over and over and over again, the rate of inflation has come down, but it's still a thing.
We've talked about it before. It's like going 60 miles down a high, 60 mile per hour down a highway and just slowing down to 40.
Right.
You're still going down the highway.
I like the picture of like a motorcycle going 90 as opposed to 60.
Okay.
Well.
Sure. Things would get a little more drastic.
Going down the highway.
They call that road rash.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you're wearing a denim and your leathers.
That's right. But the point is, whether it's 60 or 90 or whatever, the point is you slow down, but you're still going.
Sure.
Right. So the rate of inflation slows down, but it didn't go backwards.
And people are still spending their money. So Target's miss just highlights the challenges that retailers face accurately forecasting consumer behavior in a volatile market.
That's right.
It's not just about overall spending, but also where do those consumers choose to spend their money?
Well, and that's really the thing when we look at where people spend their money, because we know that when dollars leave your pocket, they have an impact. So when money stops going to point A and it starts going to point B, then the lower amount of money going to point A has a negative impact, and the higher amount of money going to point B has a positive impact.
So someone's losing and someone's winning.
Someone's losing and someone's winning. And when you add all that up, an economy, of course, is just a series of transactions, and then the domino effects that happen. So let's just play this out. Let's pretend that it costs more to put food on the table, and it costs more to put gas in the tank, and all
which
this
it does,
which it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, a lot more. So now there's less money to spend on a refrigerator. So maybe a cheaper refrigerator gets purchased. Well, that means that whoever was selling the more expensive refrigerator has less income. And then the people that are working there don't have to work as many hours because there's no work to do. Maybe they have to lay some people off. And then those people don't have as much money to spend, which makes it harder to put gas in the tank and food on the table. And so they need to buy an even cheaper refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. And a domino effect, around and around
that goes. So
while overall inflation rate is slowing, it's still crucial to remember that inflation affects different goods and services differently, right? So when certain prices are coming down, you know, energy prices, they might be feeling a strain from that, mm-hmm. give and take.
That's exactly right. So, you know, if Target was kind of a unique story out there, that would be one thing. But but just a little bit more digging around, and I think we talked before about Dollar General, and Dollar General's customers are hurting as well. So there's less money being spent at Dollar General.
Yeah, look at these three charts. Dollar General, Five and Below, Target, they're all drop. And then you look at this Walmart, and it's like, well, what's going on over at Walmart?
Yeah, so somebody at Walmart is really trying to tackle this business plan, whether it's all about more efficient delivery of goods and, you know, products that people buy. Do you see, of course, we see the Amazon, the Prime, the mm-hmm. trucks running
oh, yeah.
around out there.
All the time.
Right. And, you know.
You got a lot of electric ones now, too.
That's right. That kind of came up as a competitor to, like, UPS and FedEx in the delivery space, right?
Sure.
But Walmart is starting to have, like, these delivery vehicles going on as well,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So somebody over at Walmart is is really trying to be efficient in this space.
Sure.
And that's probably what's making a difference in terms, or it's part of what's making a difference anyway, in terms of them collecting more market share and so on and so forth.
And what about the trend that we see over at Home Depot?
Oh, yes. Yes. Here's an article talking about.
And I think it kind of bleeds over through it, too, with people feeling the crunch, not being able to make larger purchases, right?
People feeling the crunch. Yeah. So, you know, every retail outfit has a different kind of pattern for, you know, for their sales and so on. So typically people who are shopping at Home Depot are buying a different kind of thing than people who are going shopping at Walmart or Target or anything. And so, you know, if you have somebody, you have a bunch of people who maybe were going to do a home improvement project and they had to borrow money for that and interest rates go up, then they can't do the project as quickly as they wanted to. And so, Home Depot sales maybe back up a little bit.
And a higher demand for paint products.
Yeah, that's right. So if people put off the project and put off the project, pretty soon the demand for that sort of, it turns into like pent-up demand. Mm. And eventually, if people are able to afford to do it, then all of a sudden they have a whole bunch of sales revenue coming through at the same time. But yeah, you know, the Wall Street Journal article here talked about paint projects and the grill category.
Yeah.
Apparently the grill category had full recovery and resurgence, which means that a lot of people are buying grills to make whatever people make on grills.
Well, it made me think that, you know, this renovation trend with higher rates out there and folks making it harder to buy homes, I just figured maybe they're staying put and tackling these DIY projects,
mm-hmm.
Painting their rooms, refreshing their spaces, increasing the value of their home. And same with the grills, a desire to maximize use of their outdoor space and socializing at home.
That's right. And it's probably cheaper to grill burgers and whatever, steaks even.
For sure.
You grill it instead of spending that money, mm-hmm. In a restaurant somewhere. And now you get to eat your steak. You get to
Keep your own tip.
Have your steak and eat it too.
That's right. Yeah. I like steak better than cake.
That's right. So aside from the fact, You're giving me this little signal again. Does that mean wrap it up or stretch it?
Running out of time.
That means we're running out of time. Yes. Well, we are at the end of our segment here. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. When we come back, we'll be talking with Sarah Raley from Believers in Business. Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we are here in the studio today with a very special guest, Sarah Raley.
Correct.
Right?
Thank you, James, for having me.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Usually we have to say hi, right? So people actually know there's somebody here, but you did that really, really well. Sarah's with an organization called Believers in Business, and we are talking today about the challenge of being a Christian in business. And wow, that's something we could probably talk about for the rest of the year, don't you think? And I know when we were prepping over in our conference room, we talked for what it felt like a couple of hours anyway on that topic. But it's so interesting. We pray and pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
Right. And you know, the theologians don't like it when I stop there. but we have this, you know, beautiful, it's a piece of theology, but it's real. And the question is, exactly how does God's kingdom come to earth right here, just like it is in heaven, right? Where does the rubber hit the road? And we were talking, Sarah, about how that happens in business, right? Because it's in the business transactions.
And how we interact with each other.
How we interact.
It's in our relationships.
It's in relationships. That's right. Yeah. And but it's still it can be really hard to sort of put your finger on that. Because even when we say it's in your relationships and, you know, it's in your business agreements, that's still...
What does that really mean?
What does that look like?
What does that exactly look like? Yeah. And I know we were talking, you know, everybody, if you're in business, especially, you wind up doing business with other people that are in business. Like, and
right.
Yeah.
You have partners that you work with to service the same client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, at the risk of being totally elementary, let's just unpack that a little bit, right?
Sure.
Let's pretend, for example, that you're a real estate agent and you're doing business with the public, right? People who want to buy a house. Maybe you're renting, you know, maybe you're a leasing agent or whatever. But there are other professionals that you do business with.
That come around that table at closing. You have your mortgage broker.
The broker.
You have your attorney who comes. Yep. Those are all. And a lot of times they use the same partners and sometimes they don't.
The real estate agent will use the same partner. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But if they do or if they don't, still, you know, it forms up a little team and you wind up working with people potentially who have different processes and different values even.
Right.
And so, you know, one of the things that sometimes happens, or it's easy to happen when you're a Christian in business, is you wind up, you're doing business and you have this partner that you're working with who's not a part of your company, but is somebody you have to work with to get the deal done. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're in a situation where there's a different set of values and two different modes of operation going on because of that, right?
Right. Your beliefs inform how you think, and then that informs how you feel and what you do. And if you're coming from two different sets of beliefs, how you want to execute on a project can look a little different. Your priorities are set a little differently. So how do you navigate in those situations? I like the analogy of the home builder who has a lot of subcontractors who come around to build the house, right? And you have an electrician and a plumber and so forth. And when all of those folks come around in building this house, if the foundation isn't set straight and the agreement isn't there regarding the plans for the house,
that's right.
It gets a little wonky,
right? Yeah. It's easy for the train to go off the tracks and all of a sudden something different than the value set that you believe is all of a sudden in play. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, you told a story about a realtor
coming to closing. Yeah, with a client who they had known each other from church. They belong to the same congregation, same church family, and they really treat that like family. And they came to a closing table and the title hadn't been processed correctly and there were some snafus. And oftentimes in closings, there are these little hurdles. But
yeah, which happens, right?
That happens. Life happens, right?
It even happens
life
here
happens
on the radio show, right, Joe?
Yes, it does.
And the attorney used the Lord's name in vain a couple times and got really frustrated and angry with someone who
in front
was
of the client.
In front of the client, made everyone around the table kind of a little uncomfortable. And and believers generally extend grace to one another when there are those unavoidable snafus. You know, we understand that sometimes projects take a little bit longer than you initially estimated, or you know, mistakes happen in our world. So
that's right.
and God can get in the middle of that transaction and provide grace.
That's
to
right.
But
all this, but all of a sudden you had, again, partners, at least for the sake of that deal anyway, working together and a different set of values in it, and it really just came out in a way that wasn't reflective
of the real estate agents.
Yeah, I believe. So this is what happens, right? I mean, it's easy for that kind of, you know, again, values disconnect to occur. Mm-hmm. We've talked here, I know, Eric, we've talked on the podcast before about, let's say you've written a financial plan and maybe the financial planner is not kingdom oriented, right? And all of a sudden what your values are are sort of being challenged by someone who believes that, you know, you need to have more and get more, and, you know, the whole finish lines concept really isn't part of that. And now all of a sudden you have, again, a disconnect in your planning and what an advisor might be, you know, steering you in that direction.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the issues here with the challenge of being a Christian in business. I think there's a very big void there that we talked about earlier, that, you know, folks want to live out in their business and their professional life the same way they do their personal lives.
That's right.
And within their faith. Mm-hmm. And being able to do so, I think, I forget the term you used earlier, Sarah, but, you know, making them feel more whole, more connected with
shalom.
God.
Yeah, shalom.
That's
yeah,
right.
Wholeness. Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. right, that level of peace.
Yep.
So, you know, so we're in business. You know, Eric and I were in the wealth management business, but, you know, you're in business too, and you have business mm-hmm. partners, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
So this concept shows up all over the place. It's not just real estate or wealth management or insurance, but or, you know, even somebody like who's running a garage or a car dealership. Or
right. He has to work with the parts guy. He has to work with the salvage guy. He has to, you know.
That's exactly right.
And in my business, I work with web designers and photographers, graphic designers. I do social media management.
Yeah.
So I am very reliant. I want to be able to point people to a website that mm-hmm.
So not just clients, but business partners as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. And again, so we're, you know, we're carrying with us this great commission, right, to be bringing, you know, the good news of the gospel into all the world,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to be showing up in the way that we do business,
right.
And all of a sudden we're working with people who, you know, are not on the same page.
And God charges us in Romans 12:2 to do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
That's,
you know, so
right.
We have to, it looks a little different when it walks out into the world. And if you're not scripturally based,
that's
somebody
right.
may not recognize that that's the value
that's right.
there.
That's right. So, you know, so we really want to, you know, we want to spend some time here today just really unpacking that. I feel like I just turned my head.
You headbutted your microphone.
That's right. You know, which of course, you know, if we were live and people could see this, then of course they would see that happen and they would say, oh my goodness, what just happened there?
Well, I could fix that for you. We could stream it online.
Yeah, that's right. We could stream that. Anyway, okay, keeping on topic, right?
Right.
So
God's charged us not to conform, and we need to steward his resources well.
That's
so
right.
As business owners, when mm-hmm. you're stewarding your own resources, you also are stewarding your clients' resources. And how my partners come around and support a client and respect them looks a little different when we're all Christians working for that client as God would have them prosper. You know, he has prosperous plans for all of us. So
yeah, that's a really good point, because again, this idea of stewarding the resources, you know, as a Christian, we come at this with the understanding that it all belongs to God.
Right.
So
God's
first. The business mm-hmm. deal belongs to God. The people we're serving belong to God. Everything really belongs to God. And when we get into, again, doing a deal where that same outlook or the same worldview, right, is not present, then it creates possibly
some dissonance.
Mm-hmm. Dissonance, mm-hmm. tension, mm-hmm. exactly right. And it just becomes a challenge, again, of being a Christian in business.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we said that
absolutely.
Well. Absolutely. Well, we, you know, when we get to this spot in our show each week, we have something called a weekly puzzle. And I think we have just enough time to slide that in.
Yeah.
Right, because we routinely forget to do the weekly puzzle. we're so engrossed in the conversation, and suddenly time goes by. But we, you know, let's pick this up again, you know, Sarah, when we come back. But last week, our puzzle was a rather interesting question, and the question was, what do the numbers 11, 69 and 88 have in common?
Numbers 11, 69, and
88
have in common.
Yeah.
And you got doubles, you got a flip.
Got any guesses, Sarah?
You got any guesses?
No.
Yeah. So not to put you on the spot, you know, but if if you turn them upside down, they read the same.
Same way.
Yeah.
They flip.
It's still 11.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm like, they're doubles, they flip. Yep.
That's right. Yeah. So if you turn them upside down, they all read the same way.
Yeah.
What a
Mary Jo from last week, she figured it out. Just right there on the spot. Yeah. She wrote it down, and she was twisting it to the side.
The paper.
And she was like, ah.
I got it.
I got it.
It's a visual.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This week's puzzle is this. I catch fire easily, but I protect cars in the cold. You can use me as a fuel, and yet I'm every distiller's goal. What am I? I catch fire easily, but I protect cars in the cold. You can use me as a fuel, and yet I'm every distiller's goal. What am I?
Yeah. Well, if you have any ideas, then...
Great conversation for
right.
family around the table.
That's right. Send your answers to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we will read the correct answer in the next episode.
Well, we need to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some messages from our supporters, and we'll continue our conversation with Sarah when we come back. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission, here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And our guest today is Sarah Raley. And say hi, Sarah.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You
hi.
Are still here with us. That's right.
She hasn't stormed off.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not off puzzling in the corner.
That's right. I love it.
Crack that puzzle.
That's right. But, you know, we've been talking about the challenge of being a Christian in business. Mm-hmm. And you're in business.
Yes.
You're in the business of making social media posts
for
that's
businesses.
Right. Which, you know, on the face of it, you kind of look at it and go, how's that ministry? Or, I mean, but, you know, everybody's story is a little bit different. If you're in business and you're listening, you're probably there's all different kinds of businesses that are represented. Mm-hmm. But I know, you know, a few episodes ago when we interviewed, we had Dave Hook here, the realtor, and he was talking about finding mission and calling in your vocation. And talk a little bit about how that worked for you.
Well, I come from an education background, so I have a master's degree in education, and I was teaching in the classroom until I was diagnosed with a very aggressive lymphoma that required lots of chemo. And when I was done with that, praise God for healing on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I stood on a verse. He was wonderful. He gave me, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free of your affliction, which is Mark 5:34. So I kind of stood on that verse for a long time and identified with the woman with the issue of blood. But in any case, after that, the healing from the chemo required some time. And they said, you know, you really shouldn't go back into a petri dish of a classroom with all those germs and so forth. I had been using social media to stay connected with the rest of the world during this time. So I was very well versed with Facebook and had started a Facebook page for a nonprofit organization that I was president of their board in Quiet Valley Living Historical Farm. And who doesn't love farm animals? So that page did really well.
Yeah.
And that was...
But you set up a Facebook page.
A Facebook page for that.
Yeah, which...
For that nonprofit. So that was like a business page.
That's
right. And that was back in 2009. So that was pretty early.
Which tangentially is probably a ministry all by itself. I mean, or... A skill set.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Oh, and believe me, I have been able to use this skill set for the churches that I've been a member of and for nonprofits who have mission. But in working in that way, I found in my church there were some other Christian business owners that are part of those partnering that we talked about earlier, the website designer and photographer, videographer, script writer, and SEO specialist were all in my church, and they decided, as we were serving some of the same clients, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were a firm with it provided 365 degrees of marketing for a client. And as we're building a plan or building a house, and the Lord is the same CEO that provides that foundation, we were able to do some really beautiful work for clients.
And your vision for you know, starting a business together, again, mm-hmm. grew out of the fact that you had a common set of values and convictions mm-hmm. about how business was supposed to get conducted.
Yep. And how you work with one another in a business. And
not just the customer that you're working with, but how you work with each other mm-hmm. as partners. Mm-hmm. That's so enormous. You know, I think, you know, business partnerships fail all the time because people just aren't on the same page.
Right. But when you're brothers and sisters in Christ, you kind mm-hmm. of treat each other with a different level of respect.
Right. No, I mean, it's not always a slam dunk. I mean,
right.
You're not.
This is true.
You're believers, mm-hmm. you're brothers and sisters mm-hmm. in Christ. But
and sometimes there's it's a mismatch for skill set, usually reasons.
So sorry to take you off track.
We had been working together, and we heard about believers in business in the Lehigh Valley, and heard there was a chapter in Nazareth mm-hmm. that was not too far from where we were. So we started driving down, and it was a godsend to be able to pray over business together mm-hmm. and to support one another, not just in our businesses, but in our personal lives. And we kind of we all had an understanding that God is a critical component of our work lives and of our businesses. He's the one that we serve ultimately.
Mm-hmm. But you're in the Carlisle area, right?
Now I am. I have moved from the Lehigh Valley.
Oh, so you were living in the Lehigh Valley at the time and
living
working
up in the Poconos and coming down into Nazareth. And I served, each BIB chapter has three kind of leadership positions, and the prayer warrior is a very important one. And I was honored to be able to hold that seat in the Nazareth chapter for a while and be able to pray over the business concerns, personal and business concerns of members. And then, yes, I was called back to Carlisle, which is home for me, mm-hmm. to be with family. We've lost my mother, that kind of thing. But my dad is still living independently, and being able to support him and live near my sister has been a huge blessing. So I've been back in Carlisle for about 2 years now.
Looking
to start a BIB chapter.
Oh, looking to start. Well, we'll get to that. Right?
We'll get to that.
But so you know, I think probably the thing that's so important here, the just really really important point to be made, is that you're just in business.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know that
but it's not that my job, my responsibility to carry the gospel out into the world doesn't end when I walk out my church door Sunday.
That's right.
The real church is Monday through Saturday.
Right. It's 24/7 in my relationships as I am about my life, and to be able to represent Christ in my business dealings is part of my responsibility
as a Christian. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even Jesus, he didn't, you know, just go to churches and preach. He went out to the markets, to the squares, mm-hmm. spoke to the people.
And you know, he got messy and in trouble.
He did.
He turned some tables, didn't he? When they were in the wrong place. Yeah. There was a little bit of that too.
But actually, the tables were in the church, right?
That's right.
But we didn't practice talking that through before we got here. But but no, that's exactly right. So, you know, you get out into business mm-hmm. and
I have, I started Social Seed Media as a result of an attorney who suggested that an LLC would be appropriate for mm-hmm. my role in the business, as social media was starting to pick up in demand from businesses. They understood this was a way we could market in a different field. So I started Social Seed Media, and the title came from a teaching moment in BIB based on the parable of the sower, where the seed is the word of God, comes out of Luke 8:11. Mm-hmm. And that sense of planting seeds in fields is a social media mm-hmm. analogy, and praying over that seed mm-hmm. as it's planted mm-hmm. and coming back to water that seed. Is something that Social Seed Media does as a part of our work.
Yeah. But it's so easy to say, hey, you know, just, I mean, you're in business, right? And again, the beautiful thing that happens when people carry the call of Christ into their business is that it actually, you know, business takes on a new meaning. Mm-hmm. You know, we've said already that when dollars leave your pocket, when you write checks, when you create a business plan and you start spending money in one direction or another, that's where impact happens. Your intent is expressed in the form of that check.
That transaction.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. Mm-hmm. And we can't emphasize that point, right? At the risk of really like belaboring the point, that is where the rubber's hitting the road. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're listening today and you're in business, then guess what? You are right where the rubber hits the road.
Right, where the kingdom comes down to earth. That's right. And that transaction pivots.
That's right. Yeah. Proverbs 29:2 tells us when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. That means when God's people are doing a business deal, people should be rejoicing because it's getting done the right way, right? And when people get together and create a business plan, they're treating their business partners right. They're treating their employees right. They're treating the neighbors in their neighborhood right, the way that God would treat them. That is God's kingdom coming to earth right here, just like it is in heaven.
And what you said earlier, I remembered, you said some of the folks, they're praying like, I want $1 million. Instead of praying for $1 million, like you said, idea for them to get off the ground and to bring the kingdom here.
Right, right. So it's not just, you know, God, I want $1 million. It's God, I want your plan mm-hmm. for $1 million idea to have $1 million worth of worth to build kingdom here on earth.
That's
for
right.
you.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, so here you are in business, but something then super, super powerful starts to happen when it's not just you anymore being in business, but when your business partner also has this recognition of the same call, mm-hmm. right?
What's that? Yeah. The sum is greater than the whole of its parts.
Parts, yeah. Exactly.
That's right. However that saying goes. but again, if you're working in the kind of scenario, so if it's you and you have another business partner, that whether they're like your formal partner or whether it's, again, maybe
A referral partner,
people that you do business with together. You know, like, again, in our business, we work with CPAs and attorneys as well to work with our clients. And when you have alignment there.
And financial coaches.
That's exactly right. So suddenly that impact begins to take on a bigger.
It magnifies. Yeah, there's a level of trust.
That's
that
right.
Allows you. And there's a level of grace mm-hmm. that is extended. And that just makes all the difference in your business relationships.
That's right. And so you've found this right in the middle of Social Seed Media. Did I say that the right way?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, Social Seed Media. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we want to talk about that more as we get into the tail end of our episode here today. So, I'm just super thrilled because I think, you know, we call this podcast Money and Mission, and this is exactly
right.
what it's about. Mm-hmm. This is exactly mm-hmm. what it's about. And so I can hardly wait till we start putting arms and legs on this here in a few minutes. But we are getting down to the end of our segment here.
No, I think it's great as well, because I just, like I said, I think there's a void out there. A lot of people, they go to church, they try to do well and give back and donate, but they're... How can I connect? We work so much. A lot of our days are at work. So being able to connect and share those values in the workplace and with your partners and clients, exactly. I think that's great. And I think there's a lot of people out there probably looking for the exact same thing.
Yeah, they're hungry for the good news.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So. Well, we need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll finish this conversation. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And I think I'm still Eric.
Yeah, you are still Eric. You look the same to me. But our special guest today is Sarah Raley. Say hi, Sarah.
Hello. And God is creating all things new. So I don't know. You may be a little different now, Eric, than you were in the last session.
Than you were in the last session. That's exactly right. Oh, my goodness. Stay on script. Right. Okay. No, yeah. That's right. So, but no, we've been, you know, Sarah, you are representing an organization. I mean, you're in business, but you
Social Seed Media.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
And which is just a business, right? And but you are finding some, you know, you're functioning as a Christian in business, right? And we've been talking about the challenges of being a Christian in business, and we've talked about, you know, people that we do business with, partners that we need to connect with, and so on and so forth. But believers in business, this organization that you are a part of, actually has taken this whole idea of working together with other Christian people in business, and you've really organized it.
Right.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit has organized it because it really grew organically out of a very small seed at the beginning. There were four business men who were meeting for prayer, and they had been part of other networking groups. But as you know, in prayer and scriptural study, as iron sharpens iron, they continued to meet and felt the Lord calling them to expand their group
and to continue to
formalize a networking aspect for business to it.
And if I could just kind of, you know, inject, the Holy Spirit grew and organized. But I do think, you know, in Psalms, I think it's in the 19th chapter of Psalms, taking that chapter out, we read, you know, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, right? And I think there's something that is very pleasing to God when we intentionally and with purpose organize and make room for his principles in our business endeavors.
Absolutely.
Right? So, yes, absolutely. The Holy Spirit organizes. But I think, you know, again, when people get together, and we always remember, you know, I'm sorry, I'll try not to preach here, but, you know, you know, we also read that God has created people just a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. So he made people to be organizational beings. And so when people get together and intentionally put God in the middle of their plans, I think there's something really powerful that happens. Okay. So anyway, that's not...
Yeah.
We didn't practice that, but it seems relevant.
The Holy Spirit moved you to organize that for us.
That's exactly right. So these guys were praying about,
they
were doing business together.
They were doing business together. They were praying over one another's business concerns. They were lifting each other up.
Right. But they weren't in the same business.
No, they weren't. And so, you know, one is an attorney and one does TV, and another one was working for a nonprofit organization. And on August the 16th of 2012, when they extended the invite out, 20 other men and women came to join them around the table for what was the first official kind of BIB meeting. Well, they decided to call themselves believers in business. Yeah, it is. It is.
And they shared the conviction that they should be praying for each other in business.
And giving each other referrals to help that kingdom building transaction moment, bring that down to earth, doing those referrals and connecting each other with, you know, future business that the Lord brings. And oftentimes he uses each of us in different ways. Part of the networking is a referral process, and that's where I have someone that needs a service or a product or a business, and I refer them to you, James, because you provide financial planning. So I have someone who needs that, and I refer them to you.
And when you know that referral gets passed along, it's going to a fellow Christian who shares those same values.
Shares that aligned sense of values. And it oftentimes it's interesting to watch the Lord work and in really miraculous ways. And coming up with a referral was often a challenge for me coming out of education, because that's not a kind of a skill set. It's more of a sales skill set that I really didn't have. I can motivate kids to learn, but to have to transfer business was new. But I would take that little referral slip home and kind of pray over it all week long and say, Lord, show me someone who needs a service that you have in mind for one of my BIB chapter members. And sure enough, throughout the week, something would happen in a miraculous way where somebody needed an attorney for something, or someone needed some jewelry to be repaired. And I said, oh, I know an excellent jeweler.
I know someone. Not just an excellent jeweler, but I know somebody who has this shared sense of values, that when you're talking with this person, you have confidence that, you know, because the Bible says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. And I mean, that's just so enormous when that principle makes its way into a business transaction and you have confidence that
I'm going to, I can trust the jeweler.
That's right.
passing off the referral.
And you mentioned earlier that, you know, being a part of other groups that you've seen firsthand, that a lot of companies overpromise and underdeliver.
They do.
Right?
They do. And that is something I can also, as in giving a referral, I know that my word is good, and so is that of my and there's grace there too. We know things do happen. We've talked about that here. But for the most part, I someone isn't going to promise to do something that they can't do.
Right.
Sometimes that happens.
It might not always be a good fit.
It might not be a great fit.
But to take care and have diligence with that contact is important.
And that they're not going to overcharge, too. Mm-hmm. There are times, you know, especially for myself and car mechanics, you know, I have to trust because I have no idea how much that service cost.
Or what really needs to be needed. Replaced, right?
Yeah. Do I really need a new battery or not? Yeah. You know.
A group of people got together and then what? Did they do this?
So this chapter grew, and there are seats in this chapter. So you can't have three realtors all in the same one. So when enough other people started to want to join, they just formed another chapter in Bethlehem, and then they formed another one in Easton. Now there's one in Quakertown and King of Prussia, Kennett Square, Souderton, Wilkes-Barre, Palmerton, Media. Yeah.
But the main idea is
and
it doesn't matter.
And central Pennsylvania soon.
And hopefully.
That's right, in the Harrisburg area. That's right.
Yeah.
Because you've got a vision. And I think, you know, from what you shared with us over at our office as we were prepping here for our conversation, there are people right here in the Camp Hill area who would like to be conducting business like this.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's right.
Yep. I think there are a lot of people out there. Maybe somebody who's listening is ready to say, yes, I would love to have prayer supporting my business. I don't know where else you can, you know, find someone who, you know, find a group of people who are willing to pray over your business's success. And it aligns so that, you know, in 2 Corinthians 9:11, you know, God encourages us to be generous on every occasion.
That's right.
And he blesses us so that we're able to do that.
So we're able to do that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so you're doing this in a truly organized fashion, you know, in Believers in Business. But so you talked about different chapters. That means just a group of people that gets together in a particular location.
Industry-specific seats.
Yeah.
Yes,
what, and they meet twice a year.
No, they meet twice a month.
Oh, every twice a month.
Twice a month, so it's every other week, and
which I think builds relationships.
It does, and there's a commitment level there too. So you know, if you're going to be absent, you can find someone else to represent you.
And accountability.
And accountability is there. And I think as we really kind of build a relationship around a teaching moment that is a piece of scripture that one of the presenters has picked out that's been meaningful to them as a business owner. And we discuss that scripture and we discuss how it might apply to our business lives. Mm-hmm. And we let God kind of direct that teaching moment conversation. Mm. And it comes out in ways that have, you know, it might be better than an MBA in my opinion, because it's God who's working through his word to bring life to our work.
That's right. Do you have an MBA?
No, I don't. No, Eric, I have an MED.
Eric has an MED.
I don't mean to discredit your studies. I'm sure they're
fabulous. I just need to go to this group.
That's right.
I just need to grow a little more.
Because it's better. It's better than an MBA. That's right.
I need to find out.
It'll be a multiplier of your MBA.
That's right. So believers in business, again, it's very intentional in bringing prayer and biblical principles, that's right, into the networking, the business networking endeavor. Is there a website?
There is a website. It is bibnetwork.org, and all the chapters are on there, bibnetwork.org.
Yeah. You know, are we at a spot where we don't have to say www anymore?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a given. Yeah.
I just dated myself.
You could also https://.
You could Google believers in business. It'll come up.
Yeah, bibnetwork.org.
And every chapter has the same agenda set up. So you could go to any one of these and the agenda and the meeting will run in the same manner.
Yeah, which is not really like McDonald's. Because people are different, no matter where you go. So, right. but still, you have the same principle that's
underlying it, and the prayers are the same. So that's the prayers have been very carefully crafted so that they are directed by they're based on scripture, and we can come into agreement together in them because they're
that's
solid.
Right.
And
that's
we certainly
right.
encourage folks to reach out. Anyone who is interested and wants to become a part of a group like this. Whether or not you might be a little closer to some of the other chapters and that seats might be taken, or if you're right here in Harrisburg, we would certainly like to connect with you and talk about that more.
Yeah, so bibnetwork.org. Is there a phone number that if someone wanted to reach out to you by phone?
Sure. It's 570-369-0238. Someone wants to call and we can talk about, maybe they're interested in setting up a chapter down in Frederick. Eric's down there.
And that's right. And you could call, our office at 717-774-7200. But, the whole idea really, again, is to really be building those principles. Let the rubber hit the road. Let God's kingdom come to earth right here. Just like it is in heaven. Our guest has been Sarah Raley, right?
Thank you, Sarah. It's been great.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
But you're listening to Money and Mission here on WHYF AM 720.